Oh, we've been looking at hope, found in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we spent the last 2 weeks talking about hope, and today I wanted to move on and talk about joy and peace, except we're not going to make it. It's too much information in one little verse to talk about both joy and peace. So we're just going to look at joy today. So may the God of hope fill you with joy in believing that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. I think we're going to have to work on this too. You see, there's fruit to hope. Remember when you first met that special someone and that there was hope that it might all work out? What happened? All of a sudden, you had some joy in your life, didn't you? Remember that? Remember how the hope produced joy? It did. And you got excited. You thought, hot dog, I got someone. And I think it's going to work out. Well, that's what hope does. Hope produces joy. It just, it fills you with joy. All of a sudden, there's a twinkle in your eye and you're lighter on your feet and actually even like people you never liked before. Just because there's hope now, and hope brings joy and peace. Well, now, so the fruit of hope, or two of the fruits, is joy and peace, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, no wonder joy is listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit's involved in your life, and he brings hope, then all of a sudden, just kind of out of that flows this wonderful feeling and experience of joy. Jesus said, make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Well, as we come to Christ, and he produces in us hope, then hope produces joy. It just has to happen. Now, many people live as if joy is an optional fruit of the Spirit. You know, they could take it or leave it. I would suggest that it's not. In fact, you need more hope if you're not experiencing joy. You need more hope in God. Now, see, joy is the missing ingredients in too many Christians. And why is that? Well, I think some of it is because in our world we've lost hope. And so really, joy is just, it's what's been wounded because of that lack of hope. But when hope comes, all of a sudden, so does joy. Now, the trouble with many men is they've got just enough religion to make them miserable, not enough to make them joyful. If we are miserable, it's because we've said no to joy, or that there's some other blocking, hindering factors in our life. You see, to be joyless is actually dishonoring to God. And to deny his love and control of our lives, it's actually practical atheism. To miss joy is to miss everything, because God wants us to be filled with joy. Just in the same way when you met that special someone, and because there is hope, you were excited and filled with joy. When you meet Jesus, he wants our lives to radiate that same kind of excitement, that same kind of joy. So joy is the Christian's birthright privilege. It's our daily duty. to be joyful and rejoice in the Lord. So we're going to talk about the theology of joy today. Now, when we say theology, it's thinking about faith. It's the study of faith. When we think about joy, we often think about it as a feeling or experience of faith. Sometimes we look at those things as two opposites, but we don't want to, because then we're forced to camp in one side, in the theology camp, which is just not head knowledge, or in the emotional side, which is just emotions. And God wants us to see that both of them need to come together. So we're talking about the theology of faith. Now, did you know that there's 14 different words in the Old Testament that are translated in some way joy? And in the New Testament, there's 8 different Greek words that are translated joy, or they're joyful words. The Bible mentions joy and its related words 650 plus times. Now, that's because the Bible is full of joy. It's because faith in Christ is so joy-filled. It brings so much hope and so much joy. Now, in the New Testament, joy often speaks of a celebration, a party. It's a happening. It's an exciting happening. In the Old Testament, other words are used: gladness, dancing, leaping, spinning around in pleasure. Wow. Sounds like a lot of fun to be a believer in God and to have His hope in our life. Now, what's a definition of hope? I read tons of them this week, but here's one: learning how to be happy. Now, for some of us, that could be a chore, learning how to be happy. God wants us to learn how to be happy, though, regardless of outside circumstances, regardless of what's happening around us. So we're happy because of something that's happening inside. And then, once we are happy, we can lift the spirits of others. So since Christian joy is being happy regardless of outside circumstances, then the difference is not the emotional source, but what's happening on the inside. What's happening in here? It's Jesus doing something in our heart. You see, now, Jesus demonstrated joy. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And now he's seated in the place of honor at God's throne. You see, the cross itself wasn't an enjoyable experience. In fact, it was downright miserable. It was terrible. But because of joy, he endured the cross. Sometimes there can be miserable situations in our life that shouldn't steal our joy. Our joy comes from in here. Well, joy can be expressed in very many ways. It can be just pure gladness in God. No reason. Just gladness in God. It can be happiness. I just feel happy today. But joy isn't just a feeling. We're going to get to that in a minute. Joy is expressed in being cheerful. Our countenance is happier. Sometimes we can even laugh because we're so joy-filled. And we can be a sense of playfulness. I mean, your kids know when you're filled with joy because you're playful. I mean, you're funner to be around. There's a sense of merriment in your life. So it's not just fun, but fun can be included. So when a person receives Christ into their heart and life, joy comes in the package. Wow. Happiness, joy, laughter. Now, they're different things, but they're related. So happiness can be just temporary. While the kind of Jesus joy that we're speaking about is a permanent trait. It's a settled disposition. Now, it may go dormant for a while, but as we maintain our focus and our love relationship in God, it's always there, glowing in the dark. Laughter can be an expression of happiness or of joy or of something else entirely. You can laugh without any real joy. In fact, sometimes laughter is an expression of embarrassment or an awkwardness. But it can be part of joy. Now, when you laugh without feeling joyful, or you can laugh without feeling joyful, but you can't have real joy without laughing. At yourself, at others, even at the circumstances, and sometimes just because of God. In fact, you don't even know why you're laughing. I don't know. I remember as a kid going to some revival meetings with my mom, and she'd do several different things that I remember questioning her about. One is, she was sitting around the altar crying up a storm, and I was young enough to know that when you cry, you're in pain and something's wrong. So I'd ask her, I'd interrupt her prayers or whatever she was doing, say, "Mom, why are you crying?" "Well, because I'm so happy." I'm thinking, "Oh, that's crazy. Mom's..." Then other times, she'd laugh for no apparent reason. I'd say, "Mom, why are you laughing?" "Because I'm so happy." She had found some joy in Jesus. In catechism, which is a study of theology for children, one of the questions is, what is the chief end of man? One young person raised their hand. They got the answer. They says, "To glorify God and to annoy him forever." Actually, the real answer is the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To enjoy God. What a novel idea. Enjoy God. So being a Christian isn't about rules and regulations. It's about enjoying our relationship with God. It's like, well, this being Valentine's Day, it's like being in love with the person you love. You don't have to be with them. You want to be with them. You want to enjoy them. You think of things that you can do with them, not because you have to, but because, well, you want to. Proverbs says something very interesting. It says, "In the life of the downtrodden, every day is wretched." Sounds kind of awful. But for some reason, some Christians live that way. And a whole bunch of non-Christians do. And then it goes on to say, "But he who has a cheerful heart has a continuous feast." Oh, that's what we want. We don't want to live downtrodden and wretched. We want to live with a cheerful heart and feeling like we're having a continual feast. Now, there may be some of you this morning who are saying to yourself, "Hold it, I'm not sure I want that Holy Spirit joy. I've seen what it's done to others, and I don't necessarily trust that for me. I'm not that kind of person. I mean, they can do it if they want, if they don't do it around me. But I really don't want that." Maybe you've even heard of Jonathan Edwards' wife. Now, Jonathan Edwards was a great revivalist of America, where people just in groves came and to the Lord. But Jonathan Edwards' wife and other ladies with her laughed uncontrollably everywhere they went, even in church. For 6 straight months, finally some of the church people contacted their national office. And the national office contacted the pastor. And they told the pastor, "Now, pastor, you need to control your wife. Because she's acting. Well, we know that you need to be decent and in order in the church. And we know that joy should not be in church." Everyone knows church should be decent and in order, like this. Kind of lack of emotion, you know, just kind of straight-laced. Not like this. I need to talk to my wife. If Jonathan Edwards' wife was anything like mine, national office couldn't control her, let alone her husband. Yeah, I like watching Jesus films. Most Jesus films that I've watched, you know, Jesus is respectfully somber. You know, there's a sense of dignity to him. Except this guy. This guy doesn't know anything about dignity. He plays Jesus smiling, laughing, and joyful. I remember the first time I saw it, I thought, well, that's a little disrespectful. I mean, that's going over the edge. I mean, Jesus might have laughed a couple of times, but not all the time. At least that was my picture of Jesus. You know, a good, somber, respectful person. Until I found some scripture, Luke chapter 10, verse 21. It says, Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh. What could that look like? Mrs. Edwards? Mrs. Moody? Did it happen to anyone else? Well, yes. The disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Whoa! What did that look like? The board members having a party? It kind of feels like they may have. So now, if Jesus and his disciples needed to be full of joy through the Holy Spirit, then maybe we do too. Remember in Samaria, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Now, as he did, there were people who got saved and healed and delivered. And Scripture makes a point of saying, and there was great joy in the city. Wow. Do you remember when you first got saved and how much joy there was in your heart? Maybe your family got saved and how much joy there was in the family's heart? I mean, even the dinner tables, the conversations around the table, everything was filled with joy. Imagine a whole town receiving Jesus and being healed and delivered and set free. How much joy there would be. Wow, a lot of joy. So Scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, that there's joy in salvation. With joy, you will drink deeply from the wells of salvation. I mean, finding Christ is an exciting event. Being free from sin and set free to enjoy the Lord. You see, there's an obsession in heaven to steal from Satan those who are captive to Satan's kingdom. In fact, Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says, there is joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God. Now, I can just imagine a party happening in heaven. Yes, a party in heaven. I mean, and as we're in kind of a revival mode around the world now, just imagine the party happening all the time. I mean, you haven't been to a party like this. It just kind of goes on and on and on forever because people are coming to know the Lord and the angels are excited. In fact, it's been said that joy is the serious business of heaven. I'd kind of like to be there. It sounds like a fun time. In fact, Luke chapter 10, verse 20 says, rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. Now, if you have nothing else to be excited about, you have that. I hope, unless you can take care of it this morning if you don't. Right at the end of the service, if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is the time to come up and do that and make Christ your Savior. Know forgiveness of sin and have real joy in Jesus. Well, some may say, I don't know if I need that joy stuff. But guess what? Heaven is called the joy of the Lord. It is. I mean, imagine your joy when you hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I'll set you over much." Now catch it. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Even for those who don't like that joy stuff are going to get immersed in it when they get to heaven. So we might as well enjoy it now. Enjoy joy. Enjoy joy. Now, somewhere way back in the 16th century, Bible scholars thought the Greek word makaros was too sacrilegious. And so they changed the word in English to blessed. And we have the Beatitudes where Jesus is telling us, blessed is this, blessed is that. Well, the word makaros is a compound word starting with Mac, like where we get the word Big Mac, Mac truck, and Mac roads. They mean something large, lengthy, big, and huge. And then Arius means happy. So if we put those two together, it could mean supremely or hugely blessed, fortunate, well off, and happy. Oh, wow. So instead of just blessed, blessed is more dignified, isn't it? But the word is much more joyful than just blessed. Supremely or hugely blessed, fortunate, well off forever. So we could say hugely happy are you who weep, for you shall laugh. Oh, wow. Who would have thought of that? Hugely happy are those of you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? Because you shall be filled. Filled with what? Well, with huge happiness. Wow. This being a Christian could be a lot of fun. I'm not sure how we've turned it into what we've turned it into. You know, in some churches, believers aren't allowed to be hugely happy. No, they need to be dignified. They're just full of the Holy Spirit. But they're not to give any outbursts of joyful emotion, because that would be undignified. So sinners, however, are allowed to repent with weeping and moaning and wailing. In fact, the more wailing they do, the better it is. So when is it appropriate to be joyful? Well, the Bible tells us when. Since in his presence is fullness of joy, it's appropriate for you and I to be joyful whenever we're in his presence, whenever his kingdom comes. Oh, and you and I pray for his kingdom to come daily, don't we? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Oh, my goodness. We're praying for his joy in our life. Well, you see, one-third of the kingdom, one-third of God's kingdom is joy. There's righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. So joy is the lubricant to the kingdom. Wow. It's where God rules. You can always tell how a person is faring with God's rule in their life by their demeanor, their attitude, how much joy they have. You can tell a revival church because it's a happy church. Oh God, make us happy. So the foundation of joy is rooted in the fact that God is in a good mood. Wow. Who would ever think of that? God is in a good mood. God is in a good mood. Now, the devil is bad. Therefore, he's always in a bad mood. He doesn't wake up some mornings and say, you know what? I'm feeling good today. In fact, I think it's a good day to help people. I'm going to restore some marriages, and I might even heal a bunch of people with cancer. Well, yeah, I think I'm going to go to the hospital today. No, he never says that because the devil is bad, and he's never in a good mood. In fact, one of his names in the Greek describes his attributes. Panaros means the wicked one. He's never in a good mood. But you and I, we serve a loving Heavenly Father, a happy God, who's in a good mood and desires to bless his kids. Now, the devil would like us to believe otherwise. He'd like us to believe he's the good guy, and we've been duped by God. He was able to deceive Eve that way. And he wants you and I, he wants to deceive you and I as well. He wants us to think that God's not fair. If God's so good, why did he let? No, bring all these bad things on you, because he's in control of everything, isn't he? So he made it happen. And he tries to deceive us with God being bad. But God's not bad. Remember, God is good and does only good. Psalms 119, verse 68. And because he's good, God is the source of everything that is good. Everything good that's come into your life, he was the source of that. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. So, is God the stingy one, or is he good? Well, he's good. And every perfect gift is from above. So, Psalms 84, verse 11 tells us, no good thing does he, God, withhold from those who walk uprightly. Wow. We got a lot to be happy about. We got a lot to be joyful about. How great is your goodness, O God? You have stored it up for those who fear you. You do good things to those who trust you. You do this for all to see. Psalms 31, 19. You see, God actually stores up goodness for you. And you, and all of his kids, stores up goodness waiting to give it to us. Oh, wow. Now, does anyone need more empowerment in their lives? The Bible tells us, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Just imagine, all we have to do is start laughing at the lies of the devil. Yeah, all of a sudden some lie comes through your mind, and you say to yourself, I think I'm just going to laugh at that. That's absolutely bizarre. That's not true at all. And pretty soon you'll find yourself around the house or at your job snickering all the time. People saying, what are you snickering about? I just laughing at a lie of the devil. That was a good one. I mean, yeah. Okay, so they may think you're a little odd, but you're going to find some victory. And all of a sudden some joy of the Lord will come into your life and you'll have some empowerment in God. Wow. So, I'm not urging you this morning to chase an emotion, even the emotion of joy, but I'm urging you to seek Christ, who himself is joy. And joy flows out of our hope. Wouldn't that be exciting if each of us, every last one of us, every day of the week, we woke up singing a song, Happy in Jesus. And sure, there's lots of bad stuff on the radio and the TV, and there might be bad things happening in your life, but in spite of joy, Jesus' joy, doesn't come from the circumstances around us or even our own illnesses. It comes in our relationship. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you have provided for us not only hope, eternal hope, but you've also provided for us Jesus' joy. I ask that you'd fill us with your hope and with joy in the Holy Ghost. We ask this in Jesus' name.